Would you take the Word of God this evening and turn to Hebrews chapter 11? To say that this message will be short and sweet is true in one area. It's going to be short. I don't know about sweet. But I do know it is going to be short. I know that much. It has been a long week. Everybody's been working hard. I've heard some testimony of some folks that are just not feeling well, feeling tired, feeling worn out. I cannot believe it. About Tuesday afternoon, I knew something was coming. Actually, about a week ago, I knew something was happening in my body. I've done it 63 times before, so I felt a little twinge, and I thought, oh, Lord, please no. And me and the Lord was having a conversation, and I asked Him thrice to take the thorn out of my flesh before it decided to come. But about Wednesday afternoon, Brother Dave and I were coming back to the church, and we're pumped up about our messages, and we're speaking on Hostess cupcakes and Twinkies, and we had just come back from Sam's Club. We had our Twinkies in hand. We didn't even eat one in the car, by the way. Just a testimony. We did not eat one in the car. Not in the parking lot either. In the office, maybe. In the office, maybe. But not in the car. But we had our Hostess Twinkies, and we were talking about God giving His best, and God so loved the world that He gave His best. And man, we're starting this series, and of course He was going to outdo me. He had PowerPoints and everything, and I just don't get into all that. I don't know how to do all that yet. So we were talking about it, and about halfway back from Sam's Club, I went, and it wasn't because I was surprised by something that He said. I all of a sudden felt the pain of number 64 coming down. I'm just numbering. That's it. They're just a number to me. And so it come down and jolted me. I was in the driver's seat and I thought, oh no. And I said, Brother Dave, I said, this is bad. It started. I can tell when it's not going to stop. So sometimes it'll start and it'll just kind of subside, but it was full on. So from about Wednesday, about 3 o'clock, maybe 4 o'clock, somewhere in there, till Thursday evening, at 8 o'clock, I was in full intense kidney stone pain. And I think my wife and I counted, I threw up about 35 times during the night and during the day. And it's just one of the things the Lord has me to deal with. And everybody's got their thing. And everybody's got a story. So I'm thankful for your prayers. I'm thankful for the Lord bringing me through that one. And I don't understand all of it. And don't claim to know it all. Don't claim to understand why. I know the reason it happens. I don't know why the Lord has not decided to stop letting it happen. But, you know, we have to trust Him. You know, in everything we have to trust Him. And even if it doesn't feel good, if it doesn't seem like it's good, it doesn't seem like there's any purpose for it, there's always a purpose. And sometimes the purpose is that God is God. And we just need to lean heavier on Him. We need to lean more on Him. And sometimes that's just the case. And sometimes that's where the Lord brings me. So I do appreciate the prayers. I do feel I'm over that, but I don't feel well. I'm still kind of in limbo. I'm not sure what's going on, but just not feeling great. All that to say, that is just a little bit of the reason. We'll not be very long tonight. And I certainly don't want to take advantage of your time, and you came tonight, so I want to give you the message the Lord's laid on my heart. But I do feel just a little bit wore out with what's going on. So just pray for me if you would. I do appreciate it. Like I said, everybody's got something, and I hate to even talk about it. This might be the first or second time I've done that, but I don't like to talk about it. But at the same time, you know, God's had it done for a reason, and it happens. And if I can encourage somebody to stay faithful, even in bad times and hurtful times and trials and tribulations, there's no reason to get bitter. God's doing it, and God undoes it when He does it. And so you're in His hands anyways. So you can be a bitter child or a better child. You can be somebody that's angry or somebody that's going to be happy and excited and encouraging and loving the Lord. So that's the choice we have. This morning we started talking about faith for our families. Faith, I was telling the men downstairs at prayer time tonight that faith is a hard subject to preach on. if you're just talking about faith, if you're just saying we need to have more faith, that's something that is kind of in limbo. I mean, it's just not something that is you can put your finger on very well. By faith Noah, by faith Moses, by faith Abraham. And we talked about faith this morning, what faith is, but tonight I want to show you that the book of James says that faith without works is dead. If you say, oh, I have faith in God, but you never put one foot in front of the other and do what God says to do, you don't have faith. It's kind of when somebody says, well, I love you. I really do love you. No, I mean it. I love you. And at the first chance where there's an opportunity to prove love or to let love come through a sinful situation or love come through a broken situation and you do not love that person, you didn't love them. You had a fascination of love, or you had a thought about faith, or you had a thought about trust. But if you don't trust in the moments where your trust is tested, you don't trust. And I think that's where we are sometimes as Christians, is we say some things, but when we're put to the test, we don't really believe those things. And so I want to talk to your parents tonight and grandparents tonight about this subject of faith for our family. And I want to call it this. Now, get this title. Don't miss it. Planned Parenthood. This is the real Planned Parenthood. All right? We have all of this stuff going on out there and defund this and defund that and sue this person and take this program out. It's sad that we're even having that conversation because of that aspect of our society. There are people who are just giving themselves away, and then when they give themselves away, they want to try to put a Band-Aid on that. They want to do it however they want to do it, and they want to do it the way they want to do it, and it's really no plan. That's exactly what it is. The plan that God has is you should have faith as a parent, but the plan is this. You've got to work at being a parent. Faith without works is dead. Dead parenting is not helping anyone. This matter of parents being on the sidelines and, well, I just want them to, you know, sometimes they have to make mistakes. Are you crazy? That is not parenthood. That is not parenting. That is not taking the heritage that God has put within your grasp and doing something great with it. It's like saying to a teacher that goes into the classroom, well, children, you know, do your best. That's not a teacher. A teacher doesn't say do your best. A teacher works with those children and molds those children and captures the heart of those children and turns on the imagination of those students and controls the behavior of those students and motivates those children so that they become productive students. So we see in Hebrews chapter 11 in the story of Moses that Moses became great because Moses' parents were parents of faith. And they did some things that are very simple to understand, but not always easy to put into practice. Let's look at it in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 23. It says, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. They were not afraid of the king's commandment. Now later on, we realize the impact that his parents had, because the Bible goes on to say, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith Moses, verse 23 says, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child. And his parents were not afraid of the king's commandment. I'm going to give you 3 easy, simple steps as a parent to help put a plan to your parenting. Number 1, Moses' parents give us an example of people who started young. Started young. Look at it. It says, when he was born, they immediately took action. When he was born, they hid him for 3 months. Now, I find it amazing in this day and age how long parents wait to talk to their children about things. They think that their child is throwing a temper tantrum, and they can't possibly get their child's temper tantrum under control because they're just 10 months old. They're just a year old. They're just a year and a half. Tell that to Moses' parents, who started the day he was born to make him into a proper child. They started young. What do we have to start young with? You've got to get your children under control emotionally at a young age. It's amazing how many times that we see children emotionally out of control. We want to say physically. We want to say, well, they threw themselves on the floor and they threw a temper tantrum. But number one, they are emotionally out of control. Something happens to them and they have an improper reaction to the situation at hand. My friend, you must start with your children at a young age. Grandparents, you must start with your grandchildren at a young age. That is why we have a 4-year-old kindergarten in our church, a 5-year-old kindergarten for our students, a first grade, a second grade. Why? Because we understand that the responsibility with children doesn't start when they get in junior high. Doesn't start when, well, they're 13. I better get cranking up on this thing. Good luck with that. How is that working out for you? Listen, your child can understand the word no very, very soon in life. Now, I am not an expert on this. I do not have a degree in childhood development and all those things. But I do know this. I can say no and get a response. When I capture the heart of my child and I get them under control emotionally, and number two, I must get them under control physically. You know when we wait? We wait till the day they get saved. Then, now we've got emotional damages. We've got physical damages. They're out of control physically. They're out of control emotionally. They're out of control mentally. And now they get saved, and all of a sudden we're going to try to cram all of this parenting into the moment they got saved. Oh, now they're going to change. God's going to change them. No, that's your job. Moses, when he was born, his parents took immediate responsibility for him. You've got to start young. You've got to start immediately. The day they're born, connect with them emotionally. I'm so excited to see these ladies that are expecting in the auditorium. I love a church that is growing and we're seeing babies come along. But moms and dads, can I just beg you to do this? Stop for a few days and stop for a few weeks when the baby's born and connect with them emotionally. Capture their heart right away. Capture those emotions and be in control of those emotions. Know your child so well that you know what a hurt cry is, that you know what a needy cry is, that you know what a temper tantrum is, because you're connected emotionally with that child. My wife will hear a baby even now, and it gets her emotional even when she hears a child out because she is a mother. And I love to see that reaction in her because it's amazing. She never loses that. She's got children that are 7 years old and 10 years old and 13 years old. But she still has that emotional connection with a baby. But you can emotionally connect with that child. You can physically connect with that child. Listen, they understand the physical touch. They understand from the moment they're born, there's a physicalness there. And dads, we might not be in on the whole thing for the first year or two. I understand that a lot of this is with our ladies and with the moms and those kinds of things and grandmas and stuff. But ladies, that ought to show you that there is a huge responsibility you have at the beginning of their lives. That you can't sit back and I hate the phrase terrible twos. Show me the terrible twos in the Bible. It is a cop-out for parents. Well, my child's totally physically out of control. They're emotionally out of control. They're mentally insane. They're 2 years old. Oh, I know what it is. The terrible twos. No, bad parenting. Am I saying that children don't have temper tantrums at two? There's a cross section there where they go through phases, but it should be phases, not their reputation. Your child should not be on the wanted posters at the post office at 2.5 years old. If you see this child running around, they are armed and dangerous, do not approach. Immediately call the SWAT team if you see this toddler running around. That ought not to be, the nursery workers ought not to roll their eyes when your child comes through the door. Oh dear God. Well, I put them in nursery. I don't know what they're doing down there. Well, they're trying to play panic-stricken people. They have them for 1 hour, and you have them for 100-and-something hours, and they have no chance. And they go to school, and you push them off in the school, and they go to Sunday school, and you push them off in the Sunday. Listen, we've got to start young with our kids. Moses, when he was born, was hid of his parents 3 months. They made that boy into a proper child, listen to this, in 3 months. They knew his temperament. They knew what kind of child he was going to be. They knew they were connected emotionally with him. You read the story of Jochebed back in Exodus. She was emotionally attached to Moses. She was physically attached for a long time with Moses. She was spiritually attached to Moses and trained him in the way that he should go. But she started young. Listen, friend, stop using your excuses or thinking that your child will someday get it. They need to get it now. Because the sooner they get it emotionally, the sooner they get it physically, the sooner they get it mentally, the sooner I believe they'll get it spiritually. It's hard to help a child understand what sin is and the punishment of sin when you never punish for sin. When the equation is never met together, the addition problem in their head never connects, because every time they do something wrong, they get away with it. And then we're trying to tell them at church that when they do something wrong, it put Jesus on the cross and there's a punishment for sin. Really? Not in my house. Not with my parents. We're seeing children get saved at an older and older and older age. My wife and I have noted, we've seen children's understanding about sin getting to an older age just in the years we've been ministry. I've only been in ministry for about 17 years, 16 years, and we begin to watch the age of understanding sin and its consequence and what it did to Christ and what it should do to us has gotten older. You would hear all the time kids got saved at 4 years old, at 5 years old, at 6 years old, and we're meeting with 8-year-olds and 9-year-olds and 10-year-olds and 11-year-olds, and they're just beginning to understand the consequences of sin. And that's not always because of bad parenting. I'm just saying that we've got to look at our own lives and look at our own families and look at our own kids and say, look, by the example, if I want a Moses, if I want to raise an Abraham, if I want to raise a Noah that is a young person of faith that's going to do something great for God, I got to get started now. You say, well, my kid's two and he's out of control. Start now. Don't excuse it away and wait another year or wait till they grow out. You start now. Start young. Don't give it away. Don't let it go by. Don't let their childhood be one where they're emotionally a wreck and mentally a wreck and physically out of control, that you're trying to grab them spiritually. You've got to work on those other areas, because God connects with us emotionally and physically and mentally. And that is how He shows us the damage that sin does and what sin is. There's an understanding in our minds before there is a taking of it in our hearts. And so may we start young with our children and do our best to start young, training them in the way they should go. Number two, not only should we start young, but I hope that you'll see potential in your kids. See potential. Look at this verse. It says, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. Here it is. Because they saw he was a proper child. Do you think the moment he was born, he was a proper child? Proper children are not born. They saw the potential of him being a proper child. And you know what they did? They worked until he was a proper child. They hid him. They had to be secretive. They had to keep him quiet. You don't do that by just letting your kid do whatever they want to do. They had to train him at a young age. But listen, why? Why would they go through the trouble? Why would you go through the trouble of taking the rod of correction? And why would you take the time to say no and get down on their level and look them in the eyes and tell them no, or to smack the back of their hands and say, no, we don't do that, or don't touch that, or don't go there. I told you no. And now there's a spanking that happens, or there's a rod of correction that's brought forth, or there's a serious talking, or there's an emotional connection that has to be made with this child. Why? Why would you go through the trouble of all of this pain and the days and the conversations and the prayers and the tears and the upheaval of those moments of correction due in your home? Why would you go through that? I hope it's because you see the potential of your children. I hope it's because you see what they can be, not exactly what they are at this moment. I hope it's because you have a dream for your children to become great preachers or great missionaries or doctors that change the world, or church members that lead people to Christ, or a deacon of the church, or a Sunday school teacher, or a choir member someday, and you're going to train them up in the way they should go because you know that God's got something great for them to do. Do you see that potential in your children? Or are you looking at them thinking, this child is either going to be in jail or dead? I don't believe that's the potential of your child. They might be driving you insane today. You might say, I need to go to the loony bin. My children have driven me up a wall. It's possible you feel that way tonight. But listen, that's your current circumstances. That is not their future potential. And you do what God tells you to do with your kids. And you do what God tells you to do with your grandkids. And you start at a young age and you stay consistent with those kids. No means no and yes means yes. And this is where we go and this is what we do and this is how we do it and this is why we do it. And you stay consistent on that thing and you bring out that rod of correction and you drive that rebellion far from them. And you stay consistent and stay consistent. Why? Because you see that God has a plan from the womb for every single child that has ever been born. If you don't reach that child, somebody else will. And they will fulfill a purpose in life. And they will be either used by God or they will be used of God. God's will be done. May we see the potential of our children being part of the will of God. When your heart aches, and when you don't want to take them back to the room and talk to them again, when you don't feel like correcting again, may God touch your heart and say, it's for their potential. It's for their best. And you started young, and you have to train them all the way up in the way they should go, so that when they're old, they won't depart from it. What a great example of Moses. He did not get one spiritual bone in his body from the palace of Egypt. He did not get one spiritual lesson from Pharaoh or his daughter. At a very young age, he sat on his mother's knee. At a very young age, he connected emotionally and physically and spiritually and mentally with his mother. And she was able to train him because the Bible says she saw that he could be a proper child. That he could do something for God. Oh, I'm sure she didn't think in her wildest dreams that he'd be leader of the Jewish people. That he would be the leader of over 1 million Jews as they trekked across the Red Sea and the wilderness for 40 years. I'm sure she didn't see that one coming. But no matter what you see coming and what the possibilities may be, our God is the God of the impossible. And carrying inside of your womb right now, or sitting beside you on that church pew, could be the next great preacher in America, or be the president that brings us back and has a revival in this nation. I believe that. I believe that my daughter sitting there has potential to be whatever God calls her to be, and that she can make an eternal difference on this earth in her lifetime. And that is when she's frustrating me, when she's acting like a teenager, when she gives me that look like, I'm going to kill you. I already know everything. I'm good, Dad. I don't need you up in my business. And I say, we're about to have a talk. And we have a nice, kind talk. I mean, just usually one-sided, but it's a talk. And why would we go through that with our teenagers? Because I believe if I train her upright, and if God were to call her to Africa someday, or to China someday, or down the street someday, and she was called to be a great wife and a loving mother, or she was called to turn around the country of the continent of Africa for Jesus Christ, that the way that she was trained, she could do that. Dream big for your kids. But how could you possibly think that they'll end up at the church house, the courthouse, or the White House if you don't have control of them in your house? Get control in every way of your children. High love, high control. Start young. See their potential. And number three, and I'm done. Parents are going to have to stand strong. If you say you're a parent of faith, then you're going to have to stand strong. Here's your plan. Start young. From the moment they're born, dream for them. Dream about them. Dream big for them in the will of God. And see their potential. But number three, stand strong. May I say this to you? The Bible says that they were not afraid of the king's commandment. I believe there's three ways that we can help our children to show them that we're standing strong. I think number one, we should stand strong with authority. Too many parents are taking up their kids' side over the authority side these days. I can't imagine that every adult except your child is wrong. I can't imagine when somebody comes and tells you, I'm concerned about this with your child, I can't imagine that they're never wrong. I can't imagine when the teacher sends a note home that you would take the side of your child over the authority. You're not helping them. You're being permissive. You're not helping them to know when to stand and stand strong. The Bible shows us that we're supposed to stand. And having done all to stand, there's things we should stand for and things we should stand against. We should stand for authority. But number two, we should stand against evil. I'm talking about standing strong against evil. Showing our kids what evil looks like. Showing them what evil sounds like. Showing them what evil does and how evil acts and how evil talks. And then stand strong against those things. Oh, well, that was just one cuss word. I mean, if they do it again, we're going to turn that off. No, you hear that bad word, you turn it off. You're showing your kids you stand strong against evil. Don't let it go. It's not really rock and roll. It's just kind of funny rock. It's not bad. It's just pop music. It's nothing bad. Yes, it is. It's evil. Because when you start on that path, it is a path downwards. None of them ever become Mother Teresa. None of those people ever start. You know, it's the perfect example, and she's in the news every other day about something crazy that she's done. But there's Miley Cyrus. Oh, she's Hannah Montana. She's so wonderful. And some parents let their kids follow that junk, and they followed that young lady right into the debauchery and the vileness that she doesn't even have a stand on what sex you should be. She made up some name the other day. I was reading an article. She made up some name. This is what I am. And the person interviewed said, what's that? She said, it is what I say it is. That's where she's at. And she started in this innocent, this no, it's not a bad show. It's not a bad thing. It's just silly music. And people are falling right into the pits of hell. You have to stand strong with your kids against evil. You have to see evil in its infancy. You have to see evil in its seed form. You have to see what the world says. It's not that bad. You have to see it for evil. And you have to stand strong against it. Number three, stand strong for right. Don't be known as the parent who's against everything in the world. Don't be the parent that all you ever do is say, we don't, we can't, we won't, we shouldn't. How about being a parent that says, man, look what we get to do. Look how wonderful life and the will of God is. I've taken my children on vacation. We've been on so many vacations. It's wonderful. Some of the greatest memories we have are in Disney World. You know, we didn't have to go to one rock concert in their entire life. In 13 years, we've not gone to one rock concert. We've not gone to one place that the Lord would be unpleased with. And if we happened to be there when something was happening, we got out. Some of the greatest memories are what we got to do, not what we didn't do. Some of the greatest things we've ever done is right, is good. It is sitting in our front room and doing devotions together and Olivia acting out being the dog that returneth to the vomit. One of the greatest memories we have as a family. She threw up on the floor and then she waddled away and then she came back to the vomit and we learned a lesson. So is the fool that returneth to his folly. That was something right. That was something good. Some of the greatest memories I have is my daughter sitting at that piano singing for the Lord. Some of the greatest things that my family's ever done was for right. Parents, stand strong for right. Well, you're just not going to have a lot of fun in this day and age if you're just going to be all tight about it. So narrow-minded. It's because you have no imagination. And you have no plan. But here's your plan, I'm telling you. Start young. See their potential. And in this day and age, as we all are praying, may you stay strong. It is so easy to compromise. And we have not got it all figured out. I mean, we have things happen sometimes, you think, what in the world? How did we get into that? How did that happen? But listen, you see it? Stand against it. When it's right, stand for it. If it comes from an authority in their life that is right and that is good for them, you stand with the authority. My friend, if in the days ahead somebody comes to you and gives you a command against the Bible, may we all be able to show our children that we stand strong for right, no matter what. We're not afraid. We're not afraid. We fear God. We are not afraid of man. May God help you to start young. May God help you to see the potential in this room tonight. It excites me as a pastor. It helps me to keep going when I see these little guys running around here. I see Bruce and Justin back there, and I see the Lear children. Minus Aiden. No, I'm just kidding. The Lear children. Where is Aiden? Oh, he's still downstairs. That's right, till January. I see Ty. Wes is downstairs. I see Ty and Wes. And I see all the Palmer kiddos back there. And I see these teenagers here. And where's your kids? Oh, I thought you left them outside or something. I see the Vaughn children. I see the Clark children. I see children all around this auditorium. And you know what? It does my heart. I see Braden back there. There he is. But listen, do you see the potential? I mean, look, I just named 30 kids in the auditorium. What potential we have. Parents, start now. Stand strong. Would you stand together before the prayer tonight?